Welcome to episode 1375 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive. 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. We have explored the fifth commandment from many angles. We have seen it as the hinge between love of God and love of people. We have understood it as foundational to societal stability. We have recognized its countercultural power in a fragmented age. But understanding the principle is not the same as living it. The question now is, how do we actually practice honor in our messy, complicated, real lives? Honor is not nostalgia, not sentimentality about the good old days, not blind obedience or enabling abuse. It is something active, dynamic, intentional, a discipline we cultivate, a choice we make, day after day, in real relationships with real people who disappoint us and complicate our lives. This is where faith becomes embodied, where the fifth commandment becomes a way of living. Honor begins with gratitude, not gratitude that denies pain or minimizes harm, but genuine gratitude for what was actually given. Your parents gave you life. That alone is enormous. Whatever else happened in your relationship with them, they made the choice to bring you into existence. They invested years caring for you when you were completely dependent. Even if their parenting was flawed, and all parenting is flawed, they did something real. Sacrificed sleep, money, time, peace. Made choices based, at least partially, on your well-being. Gratitude acknowledges this. Says, what you gave me matters. I received from you. I am grateful. Gratitude is recognizing you benefited from another person's life and choices. When you cultivate gratitude, you shift something fundamental in yourself. You move from a stance of judgment to a stance of recognition. You stop measuring your parents against an impossible standard and start seeing them as real people who gave what they could. This shift is spiritually powerful. It opens the door to honor. Practice gratitude simply, explicitly. Tell your parents, or tell someone else about them, what you are grateful for. Be specific. I am grateful you worked hard to provide for us. I am grateful you were there when I was sick. I am grateful for your sense of humor. This is not about pretending they were perfect. It is about naming real gifts you were given. Gratitude often opens the door to reconciliation. Not reconciliation that requires forgetting harm, but reconciliation that chooses connection despite it. If there is brokenness between you and your parents, reconciliation is worth pursuing. If it is safe to do so, reconciliation might look like the following. Honest conversation. Naming what happened. I felt hurt when I experienced that as speaking without blame, but with clarity about your own experience. Listening. Trying to understand your parents' perspective. Why did they make the choices they made? What pressures were they under? What patterns did they inherit? Understanding does not mean excusing, but it creates the possibility of compassion. Acknowledgement. Your parents acknowledging the harm they caused, if they are capable of doing so. Even a small acknowledgement, I should have handled that differently, can open the door to healing. Re-establishing connection. Finding a way forward that honors both your need for healing and your need for relationship. This is not always possible. Some parents refuse to acknowledge harm. Some continue to cause harm. Some are simply too damaged to engage in meaningful reconciliation. But where reconciliation is possible, it is worth the effort. The alternative, carrying lifelong resentment, costs you more than it costs them. If reconciliation with your actual parents is not possible, you might find healing through reconciliation with the idea of what they were meant to be. You might grieve what you did not receive. You might find parent figures, mentors, teachers, spiritual directors, who can offer what your biological parents could not. The point is this: do not let the refusal of one broken relationship prevent you from practicing honor in other ways. Here is something crucial. Honoring your parents does not mean remaining in a relationship that harms you. Setting boundaries is sometimes the most respectful thing you can do, both for yourself and for them. A parent who is abusive, controlling, or exploitative does not deserve access to you without limits. You can honor them, treat them as dignified human beings, refuse to dehumanize them, acknowledge what they gave you, while also protecting yourself. Practically, this might entail limiting contact. You might have phone conversations, but not in-person visits. You might see them only in public settings. You might have specific boundaries about topics you will not discuss. You might refuse to participate in harmful patterns. I will not listen to you criticize my spouse. I will not discuss my finances with you. I will not bring my children into this conflict. You might refuse to accept blame for their choices or feelings. Your unhappiness is not my responsibility. I did not cause this situation. You might refuse to give them power over you. You can listen to their criticism without absorbing it. You can hear their disapproval without accepting it as the truth. This is not disrespect. It is honoring yourself as well as them. But honoring parents is not just individual practice. It is also about the cultures we build in families, churches, and institutions. What would a family look like that truly practiced the fifth commandment? It would be a family where elders are consulted, respected, and included, where their experience is valued, where young people learn from them not because they are forced, but because they genuinely want to. Family where difficult conversations happen with respect, where disagreement is possible without contempt, where each generation listens to the others. Family where care for aging parents is shared and seen as an honor rather than a burden, where time with elders is protected, where their dignity is maintained as their capacities diminish. Family where stories are told and retold, where children hear about their ancestors, where they understand themselves as part of a lineage. What would a church look like that practiced the fifth commandment? It would be a church where the wisdom of older members is genuinely sought, where committees include elders, where young people sit at the feet of those who have walked with God longer. A church where care for the aging is part of the community's responsibility, where isolated elders are visited, where their needs are known and met. A church that teaches young people to honor, where respect for parents and for authority is modeled and encouraged, where the connection between generations is cultivated intentionally. A church that values intergenerational worship and learning, where children see their parents' faith modeled, where young people hear stories of how God has been faithful across decades. What would an institution look like that practiced the fifth commandment? It would be an organization that respected experience, that did not simply dismiss older workers as obsolete, that created space for their contributions alongside innovation. It would be a workplace where mentoring happened naturally, where seasoned employees invested in younger ones, where knowledge was passed on intentionally. It would be a society that valued the contributions of elders, that did not warehouse them but integrated them into community life. This is not nostalgia, not returning to some idealized past. This is actively building cultures in our homes, churches, workplaces, where honor flows across generations. How do you begin to practice honor more fully in your own life? Start with gratitude. Write down three specific things you are grateful for from your parents or elders. Be concrete. Share these with someone. Have a conversation. Ask your parents or an elder to tell you their story. Really listen. Ask follow-up questions. Let them know their life matters. Repair a relationship. Is there a relationship that needs reconciliation? What would it take to take a step toward healing? Set a boundary. Is there a relationship that needs a boundary? What boundary would protect you while maintaining respect? Include an elder. Is there someone older in your life who feels isolated or dismissed? How could you include them? Ask their advice. Spend time with them. Teach the next generation. Do you have young people in your life? How could you intentionally pass on wisdom? How could you model what honor looks like? Examine your culture. What culture have you created in your family, church, workplace regarding respect for elders? What would need to change to cultivate honor? Honor is not a one-time gesture. It is not something you do occasionally. Honor is a way of living. It is the cultivation, day after day, of the posture that other people matter, that their dignity is real, that their lives have weight. The fifth commandment calls us to this practice. Not because our parents deserve it, not because it is easy, but because it is how humans flourish. When we practice honor, extend gratitude, pursue reconciliation where possible, set boundaries where necessary, build cultures of respect, we create something precious, create stability, create meaning, create the conditions for genuine flourishing. Father, teach us to practice honor. Give us grateful hearts that recognize what we have received. Give us courage to reconcile where we can and wisdom to set boundaries where we must. Help us become people and communities that truly live the fifth commandment. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.